Thank you so much for joining us today. You're listening to Corrington Cast, the official podcast of Corrington Church. What happens when you don't find enough inside your own personal boundary or your personal circle? This is episode number 6 in the Boundary Series with Dr. Rocky Ramsey. In today's message, Pastor Rocky tells us where to find our identity, value, purpose, and fulfillment, and then where to find life.
When I don't find life in Him, I use others because I need them to give to me and come through for me. Most of what we call love is really selfishness. I love you because of what you do for me. As long as you'll keep doing what you do for me that makes me happy, I will continue to love you. But when you quit love, when you quit doing for me what makes me happy, I will no longer love you, because the truth is I don't really love you. I love me. Right? And that's what most people operate on right there. They love themselves. If I don't become enough inside, then I'm an empty cup and I'm going around looking for people to fill it. People and things. I'm walking around with an umbilical cord looking to hook up to somebody to get me some life. I'm able to give when I'm full, but I'm forced to get when I'm empty. Look at Proverbs 30, 21, 23. I mentioned this verse last week. Under three things, the earth quakes. Under four, it cannot bear up. I'm just giving you the fourth one. And that's verse 23 says, under an unloved woman when she gets a husband. Why? Why is this such a bad thing? Why is this something the earth can't bear up under? An unloved woman will exhaust her husband trying to get from him what he cannot give her, what he's not supposed to give her, what she's supposed to get from God. She expects to get from him what only God can give her. Full people love and give to meet the needs of those they love. Empty people need and therefore attempt to use others to get what they're missing within. So what am I to get from God? Four things. We mentioned them last week. I'm going to give you a little more detail today. What am I to get from God inside this circle? Well, number one, I'm to get my identity from God. My identity. My identity is not what I do for a living. It's not who I date or who I'm married to. It has nothing to do with how many kids I have, if any at all, or grandkids. My identity is defined by God. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says that I am an ambassador for Christ. He died in my place on the cross so that I would live in his place in my world. He died for me back then so that I would live for him right now. Colossians 1:16 says that I was created by him and for him, as are all things. I'm not primarily Betsy's husband. I'm not primarily Sarah or Emily's father. I'm not primarily the grandfather of four grandkids. I'm not primarily a pastor or a friend. I'm primarily God's person. He is what my life is about. Everything else is just a chapter, a paragraph, a sentence, a phrase, or a word. He is the book. It's about him. My story is primarily being a part of his story. If I lose my wife, children, grandchildren, job, money, status, health, or anything else, I've not lost my identity. I get my identity from God. Now, number two, I'm to get my value from God. My value from God. I don't get my value from whether or not someone wants to be my friend, date me, or marry me. I don't get my value from my educational status, my job title, my income, or the amount of things I have. Those are all things outside of my circle that I have some but not total control over. I get my value from a God who wanted me to be, who wants me now, who loves me, and who paid a price to have me. That's where I get my value. In your outline, there are seven things that are true about me and you that give us value if you're a believer. Number one, this is true of everybody, I was created by God. Psalm 100 verse 3, it is not we who have made ourselves, but it is he who has made us. 139:14 of Psalm, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Number two, I am a child of God. John 1:12 says that we receive him, we have the right to become children of God. 1 John 3 says that we are now children of God. Number three, I am indwelt by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that you're a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Number four, I can bear God's image. In Philippians 1:6, it says, he who began a good work in you will perfect it till the day of Christ Jesus. In other words, God will keep working on you to make him like himself all the way till heaven. In Colossians 1:27, it says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Glory is being like God. We have fallen short of the glory of God. We have fallen short of being like him. That's what sin is. It's simply not being like him, not being like we're supposed to be, therefore not bearing his image. Number five, I can do all God wants me to do through Christ. I can do all God wants me to do through Christ. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Romans 8:37, he says, in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. So what are all these things? Well, with Paul, they were being beaten with rods. They were being whipped so many times he had lost count. They were being stoned and left for dead. They were being, everywhere he went, somebody started to riot, try to kill him. That was his all things. And in all those things, he overwhelmingly conquered through him he loved him. Now, how could he do that? Because what gave Paul everything he needed, what made him enough, was inside his circle with God. It wasn't dependent on how the ministry was going, how people were treating him, or any other external circumstance. Number six, God thought you were worth creating. That God who spoke and everything is, wanted you to be. Do a little math on that this afternoon. Wow. And then number seven, Jesus thought you were worth dying for. He died for the sins of the whole world. That means he died for you. That's where you get your value. What can some girl or guy add to that? What can a number in a checkbook or in a portfolio add to that? My value is not determined by people or circumstances, both of which can change. Rather, I am the apple of God's proverbial eye. I get my value from him. I don't have to date or marry or have kids to have value. I don't have to achieve a certain social or financial status to have value. The one to whom everything belongs gives me value. Now listen closely. If I lose my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my job, my money, my status, my health, or anything else, I've not lost my personal value because I get my value from God. Number three, I'm to get my purpose from God. My purpose from God. Number one, Christ died for me so that I would live for him. 2 Corinthians 5:15, he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Jesus didn't die for you just to get you to heaven, just so you could miss hell. Jesus died for you so that you would live for him. He hung on the cross in your place so that right now in 2020 in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, you would walk in his shoes. You would be the eyes through which he sees, the heart through which he loves, the hands through which he helps. Number two, I'm to have Christ's character in my personality. That's his purpose for me. Romans 8:29 tells us that God uses everything that happens to conform us to the image of his son. Why? Because when I'm conformed to the image of his son, I bear his image again, which is what man was originally designed to do. I reflect God. Number three, I am to do what God has shaped me to do. The word shape is capital with a small d. What he shaped me to do. Ephesians 2:10 says that before I was even born, God knew the works that he wanted me to do. Well, what are those works? Well, you got to figure out what your shape is, and through the lens of your shape, you figure out what he uniquely made you to do. So God has created me. He's used life to shape me. The S, shape is an acrostic. The S stands for spiritual gifts. We all have spiritual gifts. We don't all have the same gifts. None of us have all the gifts. We have unique gifts. Then the H stands for heart or passion. Some people are passionate about certain causes. Some people are passionate about certain age groups. Some people are passionate about defending the gospel. But we all have this passion. The letter A stands for abilities. We all have abilities. We're all good at some things and not very good at some other things. And these abilities, some of them are natural. They're God-given, we're born with. A lot of them are required. We may have gotten that ability through our degree at college. The letter P stands for personality. We all have different personality types. Some people are outgoing. Some people are less so, and they're more introverts. Some people get energy from others. Some people get drained by others. But your personality gives you a clue to what God made you do. God wants you to do something that when you do it, you're going to love doing it. If you're doing something for the Lord and you really hate doing it, it's probably not your thing. God hasn't shaped you to do that. The letter E stands for experiences. So what kind of experiences have you had in life? That's what you learn from. That's what you grow from. And especially painful experiences. Who better to help someone who's lost a child than somebody else who's lost a child? Who better to help someone who has cancer than someone else who has cancer? Somebody in the same boat. So all these things have made me who I am today. God uses all of these things in my work for Him. How He shaped me gives me a clue to the specific kind of thing, the specific kind of works that God wants me to do, which again, let me remind you, He planned on you doing before He made you, according to Scripture. Now listen closely. If I lose my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my job, my money, my status, my health, or anything else, I have not lost my God-given purpose. I get my purpose from Him. Before I go to the fourth one, if I'm getting all these things, my identity, my value, my purpose outside that circle, I don't have control. All of those are at the whim of something else or somebody else. I can only be happy if things are going the way I want them to be. I can only be enough if all the stars are lining up correctly and the people are behaving as I wish they would. If my life is built around my kids and I lose a child, I'm pretty much done. If my life is built around my wife or my health or my job, and I lose that, I'm pretty much done. But if my life is built around a God who is unchanging, all those things can happen. I'm not done. I may be down. I'm not done. The Bible says the righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up. Now here's the fourth one, and that is my fulfillment. My fulfillment. We would probably say my happiness. Now look at these verses in your outline. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord. What do you delight in? Your marriage, second circle. Your children, third circle. Something in the fourth circle or some outer circle? Or do you delight yourself in the Lord? It's Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. First. Not the love of a mate, not the approval of your children, not to make a certain name for yourself or a certain amount of money. You seek first His kingdom, doing what He made you to do, and His righteousness being who He made you to be. Now, we talked about this in detail last week, but happiness depends on happenings in our lives and how others behave toward us, which we don't have control over. So, I'm happy. Why are you happy? Because things are going well. I'm unhappy. Why? Because things are not going well. Now, am I the only one in this room that notices that a lot of times things aren't going very well? I'm happy because the people around me that I want to treat me a certain way are treating me that certain way. I'm unhappy. Why? Because the people I want think all should treat me a certain way are not treating me the way I think they should treat me. So what you're doing is you're giving up your fulfillment to something or somebody else. I suggest that's a bad plan. Jesus wants to give us His joy. And joy has nothing to do with the circumstance we're in or how people are treating us. as we saw earlier in this series, happiness is a byproduct. Happiness is something we find when we live for something bigger than happiness. People who are trying to be happy are typically the most unhappy people in the world. Living for the Lord to serve Him and others can give us a consistent peace and joy that thinking that God and others exist for us can never give us, at least not for long. It's in my circle that I find love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's in my circle with God that I find life. It's in my circle with God that I become enough. If I'm dependent upon the circumstances of life or the behavior of others, which I cannot control, then any happiness that I might have will be short-lived. I buy a new car, and boy, don't you love that new car smell? But before long, the new car smell evolves into car payments, right? Eventually, it's not the deal. It's called the law of diminishing returns. Oh, when you do something, it's the greatest. But after a while, yeah, you know, you get some, oh, this is so wonderful. And after a while, it kind of loses its pop, doesn't it? If I find my life in Him, I can experience His joy when circumstances are difficult, even disastrous, and when people disappoint me. If I lose my wife, children, grandchildren, job, money, status, health, or anything else, I've not lost my primary source of fulfillment. Why? Because I'm getting my fulfillment from God. Now look at Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in Him, Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. In other words, He is completely God in a body. He was the God-man, fully God, fully human. And verse 10 says, and in Him you have been made, what's the word? You've been made complete. Complete. If I'm dependent upon desirable circumstances and others treat me the way I wish to be treated in order to be happy, to be complete, to be enough, I'm not going to be happy, complete, enough most of the time. I'm supposed to get my fulfillment from God. Now, let me close by answering this question. Where do we get our happiness, fulfillment, or what the Bible calls life? Number one. First, we got to recognize that we do not have life in ourselves. We do not have life in ourselves. In John 1, 4, it says, in Him, Jesus was life. Another place in John, Jesus says, the Father has life in Himself. I have life in myself. In John 6, 53, Jesus says, you have no life in yourselves. That light went out in Eden when man sinned. Jesus also is the light of the world. The all-knowing one, listen closely, the all-knowing one who made you knows what's missing in you. Think about that. The all-knowing one who made you knows what's missing in you. As I mentioned earlier, everyone's in search of this intangible that Jesus called life. We don't have it. We don't know what it is that we don't have, but we know something's missing. And we think that if I could just find out what that something is, I could be really happy. We make a wrong assumption that people and things can give us life. If we just had a boyfriend or a spouse or children, if a certain person would be our friend or be a better friend, if people just treat us the way we think they should, then we could be happy. We could have life. If we just had a better joy, if we just had more money, a bigger house, a nicer car, if we could afford this surgery or that accessory or those clothes, then we could be happy. This is called destination disease. Listen real closely. If I get there or when I get this, then I'll be happy. If I get there or when I get this, then I'll be happy. Now here's the truth. If you're not happy where you are, you're not likely to be happy where you're going. If you're not happy with who you're with, you're not likely to be happy with who you want to be with. Remember, wherever you go, there you are. We'll say that again. Wherever you go, there you are. When the problem is me, I take the problem into every circumstance and every relationship. I can't get away from the problem when the problem is me. I need to fix the problem, the brokenness, the emptiness inside of me. Now, Jesus has life in himself, so he can give it to you. People who don't have life can't give life to other people who don't have life. You don't bring life to in a marriage. You don't get life in a marriage. You bring life to a marriage. You don't get life from your kids. You bring life to your parenting. Material things which have no life can't give you life. See, we don't have life within ourselves. Now, number two, we're to get life from God inside our personal circles. We're to get life from God inside our personal circles. God alone has life, so God alone can give life. The only person who can give life is somebody who has it. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I came that they may have what? Life, and have it abundantly. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, the Spirit gives life. Colossians 3:4 says, Christ, who is our life. We're to get life from God inside our personal circle. Now, number three, finally. We cannot get life from anyone or anything else besides God. Now, I've said that several times. I'll probably say it again before we're through. We cannot get life from anyone or anything else besides God. We don't have life. Others don't have life. They can't give life. They don't have it. But Jesus has life. And having life, he can give us life. But mankind is always looking for life in all the wrong places. We already talked about alcohol, drugs, relationships, et cetera, money, possessions, power. Look at John 5:40. Jesus said, you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have, there it is again, life. We try to get life from people, things who can't give life. Now look at Jeremiah 2:13. It says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns. Now listen, cisterns are not the opposite of the brethren, okay? Cisterns is not a gender, okay? In case you're wondering about that. Cisterns contain water. If you go overseas, you'll see all these tanks on top of houses. They're cisterns. They hold water. They have forsaken the fountain of living waters to hew for themselves cisterns. Watch this. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. Rather than coming to the one who has life, we look for life in all the wrong places. And when we don't find life in those people and things, we medicate ourselves with drugs, alcohol, pornography, affairs, and other forms of escape. Listen closely. People and things can temporarily numb the pain in your life and seem to fill your emotional cup. They can do it temporarily, but the cup leaks. The cup leaks. You thought if you could just date that person, if you could just marry that person, and now you've been married a while, and it doesn't do for you what it used to do, or you got that job, or that promotion, or that money, that raise, whatever, you find out it can numb the pain for a while. It can give you some temporary happiness, but it all leaks. We're not to go to others to get our cups filled. We're to go to him, to Jesus. He's the fountain of living waters. He is the forever overflowing source of life. Now, let's be honest. We all love the feelings, the emotion of happiness. It beats anger, bitterness, disappointment, sadness, as the saying goes, all day long and twice on Sunday. But happiness leaks. Even if the good times keep coming, the law of diminishing returns sits in. You need something else, something more, something better to make you feel a little bit better now. What Jesus came to give us, though, the joy you can find in him, isn't dependent upon preferable circumstances, nor is it dependent upon the proper conduct of others. True fulfillment, God's joy, is a spiritual condition that we get inside of our circle with God. We get it there. Jesus had this joy when he faced the cross. Paul had this joy when he wrote to the Philippians. The book of Philippians is a book about joy. Over and over, he talks about rejoicing. So get the picture here. Here's a guy on death row in a dirty, filthy prison. He wasn't living in one of these country club prisons like we have in America. This was 2,000 years ago. It was probably stone and dark and damp and mildewy and nasty. He's in that. That's his circumstance. And he's telling people who are free, who have far better circumstances, how to have joy. Isn't that ironic? Not only can you have this kind of joy, it's the kind of joy Jesus came and died to give you. Abundant life, joy, real fulfillment in a cursed, imperfect world. It gives you the ability to be okay when life isn't okay. And I've discovered life isn't okay a lot. Have you? Hebrews illustrates this joy as God's rest. Hebrews 4:11 tells us to be diligent to enter that rest. In other words, there's work to do to enter that rest. It doesn't just happen. So how to get this joy? Well, I just want it, so I got it. No, it doesn't happen that way. We have to seek the Lord. We have to believe His word over what we think and feel. That's why it says we walk by faith, not by sight. We have to abide in His word so that we can know the truth, because the truth will make us free. The casual church-going Christian will never enter into this kind of rest. He will never know this kind of joy. But if you will seek Him, seek Him with all your heart, He will let you find Him. And He is enough, and you can be enough.
If you enjoyed today's message, we want to invite you to join us in person at Corrington Church this Sunday. We have community groups and childcare starting at 9 a.m. and one Sunday service at 10:15 a.m. Come see us. Again, thank you so much for joining us today. You're listening to Corrington Cast, the official podcast of Corrington Church. If you have any questions at all, visit us online at CorringtonChurch.com or drop us a message or comment on social media. We're at Corrington Church. We hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we pray God's richest blessings on your life. Give us a rating, hit subscribe, and have a fantastic day.